Thank you very much for the pleasure and the privilege of being with you. And I say that very sincerely. There is no higher privilege in my lonely, individual, isolated view than preaching God's Word. Because God's Word means more to Him than just about anything else. The Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 2, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. If you combine all the names of God, Jehovah, Yahweh, El Shaddai, Lord, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, you combine all of them. Now, the Bible says that God has magnified His Word above all His name. And so any opportunity I get to preach God's Word, I regard it as a privilege, a very high one indeed. So thank you so much for affording me this high privilege to be with you in fellowship in this way for this weekend. The very moment the invitation was extended to me, I looked forward to it very, very eagerly. And I know the Lord will bless us, not because I am the speaker, but because His Holy Spirit will be with us. And wherever God's Word is elevated, there is the Spirit to make the Word practical in the lives of those who hear. I am looking forward very much to our colleagues, our compatriots who are coming in. They're on the highway now. Remember to say a prayer for them that they will arrive safely. The devil's great joy tonight would be to cause some trouble, some accident, to prevent them from getting here. So be sure to pray and ask God to bring them safely despite the devil's best laid plans for mischief. You're all from the Baltimore Church, I understand, Pastor Ray, to say. Is there anyone who does not fit that description? You're from some other church. We are all from the Baltimore Church. All right. Well, we're happy about that. God blesses regardless of what church you're from, Baltimore or Ann Arbor. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this occasion tonight when we shall study your word. Lord, we ask you to remember your words in John 16:13, where you said, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. We ask you to grant us that Holy Spirit of truth now, that he may guide us into truth. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. If you have one of these programs for the weekend, you will see that the theme is Following in the Footsteps of the Father. And the subtitle is, or the sub-theme, Studies on the Life of Abraham. And our topic for this evening is How to be Called and Chosen. Now, is there a difference between being called and being chosen? Yes, there's a tremendous difference. It's the difference between heaven and hell. Because Jesus says, many are called. Who can finish that passage for me? But few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so it is not enough to be called. That is important. The gospel is a call. But the gospel is more than a call. The gospel is power for you after you have responded to God's call. And the call of God is very direct. The call of God is very severe. If you'll allow me to use the word severe, the call of God is like a noose around your neck. It's the hindman's noose of salvation, not destruction. And I'll tell you why I say that. Our pivotal text for the weekend will be Genesis 12, the first three verses. Genesis 12, the first three verses. And if you turn to that passage, the Bible says this. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let us look at verse 1 again very closely. Verse 1 has three concentric circles of a call. I'm sure all of us at some point or another, we have dropped a pebble into a pond. And when you drop a pebble into a pond, that action generates waves that move away from the center of the disturbance. And they're like concentric circles and they move away to the edge of the lake. God's call functions in the opposite direction. And I'll show you precisely what I mean in Genesis 12, verse 1. In verse 1, the text says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country. Now that's a large circle, the country. And the country was the southern part of Mesopotamia. The city in particular, Ur of the Chaldees. That's the large circle on the outside. Get thee out of thy country. We're talking about how God calls a person and the very strict nature of the call of God. And a strict call requires a strict response. A half-hearted response does not satisfy a strict call. So get thee out of thy country, that's the first circle. Then there's a closer circle, and from thy kindred. Now the call is more narrow. And from thy father's house. And that's the inner circle of that call, like a noose of salvation, I say, around Abraham's neck when God called him. Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. Now keep in mind, whenever I talk about Abraham, that Abraham represents the faithful. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, if he be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. We are spiritual descendants of Abraham. Anyone who accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is a spiritual descendant of Abraham. And when we look into the life of Abraham, we can find lessons for our own lives. The way God called Abraham is the way God calls us. Now, our topic is how to be called and chosen. Now, Abraham was called, and we see the severity of the call, get thee out of thy country. Now, someone asked me earlier tonight during dinner, where are you from originally? And I said, the West Indies, Barbados. And I haven't been there many years. The last time I was in Barbados was 1986. That's 15 years ago. 1985, actually. 15 years ago. 16 years ago. That's a long time. I have been to Barbados once in 27 years. Once in 27 years. But Barbados is still, in my heart and soul, my favorite place on the face of the earth. Why? That's where I am from. So I am in every way, even though I am an American, I'm also Barbadian. And most of who I am, I trace to Barbados. My upbringing, my childhood, the educational system to which I was exposed at an early age. And so the early beginnings of any person really has the greatest effect on that person's subsequent development. And so Barbados means the world to me. The world to me. When I watch the Olympics and I see the Barbadian flag, my heart jumps. I realize the athletes won't win anything and they never do. But my heart still jumps when I see that flag. But let me make a correction. In the last games, a Barbadian athlete won a bronze medal for the 100 meter dash. First time in the history of the country. So it means a lot to me. Can you imagine if someone were to say to me now, Randy, I want you to cease talking about Barbados. I want you to deny any connection with Barbados. Or say to you, I want you to deny perhaps your parents' heritage, whether it's Korea or Japan or China or wherever it may be. I want you to deny that. I want you to leave it physically and psychologically and emotionally. Where we come from plays a large part in who we are. And so all over this country, we have African-Americans who've never been to Africa. But they're African-Americans. We have Asian-Americans who have never been to Asia. We have Italian-Americans who've never been to Italy. We have French-Americans who've never been to France. But there is a pride we take in the land where our heritage comes from. We take pride. And so it's not enough to be an American. I am a West Indian American. And it's not enough for some other person of my color to be an American. That person is an African American. And it's not enough for you to be an American. You are an Asian American. Why? We have to go back and continually remind ourselves and our friends that we have another root other than the American root. And so someone who is maybe a Native American says, I'm not just an American. I am a Native American. Abraham received a call from God. And the call was, leave your country. Leave all that you're accustomed to. Leave all that you're familiar with. Leave your familiar neighborhood. Leave the friends you went to school with. Leave them. Then he says, leave your kindred. Now, we know the importance of the extended family. Grandmother, grandfather, aunts, uncles, cousins, in-laws, or as some people say, outlaws. We know the importance of those persons in our lives, the extended family. And God said, Abraham, I don't only want you to leave your country, I want you to leave your kindred, and I want you to leave your father's house. Now that's the very home in which you were born, the very home where you grew up. Now that is a very strict and severe call. Now, why would God call Abraham from his country, from his kindred, and from his father's house? The answer is found in Joshua chapter 24. We shall read the first three verses. Joshua 24, the first three verses, as we look at the topic, how to be called and chosen. There's a reason why most people in churches are called. Now, all of them are called, I can safely say. Very few are chosen. Well, Jesus himself said that. Many are called, few are chosen. Jesus said the broad road has many people. The road that leads to destruction, the road that leads to eternal life has very few. God does not disbar anyone who desires to have eternal life. He does not disbar anyone. But for some reason, most people are on the road to destruction. Most people fall under the description of called, but they fall short of the description of chosen. Joshua 24, reading from verse 1. The Bible says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people of Israel, or all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, our fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. The word flood there refers to the river Euphrates. You had to cross the Euphrates to leave Mesopotamia to enter into northern Syria and to come down into Palestine, following that crescent, the Fertile Crescent, as the geographers and the historians call it. Our fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. That's where Abraham came from. In old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. This was the environment in which Abraham grew up. An idolatrous environment. This does not say that Abraham himself was an idol worshiper. But Abraham was immersed in an idolatrous environment that included his home, that included his family members. And that strain of idolatry was never really fully removed, because you will remember when Jacob left Laban's house and was coming back to Canaan, and Laban chased him and caught up with him. And Laban chased him because Laban was missing some of his little gods. And he found them where? Under the saddlebags of Rachel, the wife of Jacob. And whenever the Bible speaks of Abraham, most frequently God is described as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The little gods were found under the saddlebag of the wife of Jacob. And so this fascination with idolatry and many gods never really left. But this is the environment in which Abraham came up. And whether the environment is in the school or on the work site or in your home, if it is dangerous and harmful to your spiritual welfare, God's call is to leave it. Because it will lead to eternal and ultimate destruction. And so the Bible tells us in Joshua 24, and they served other gods. And verse 3 of Genesis of Joshua 24 tells us, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and I led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. I took him from the other side of the flood. In other words, I took him from the environment of idol worship. And that's why God issued a call in Genesis 12, verse 1. Get thee out of thy country. Your country was dangerous to your spiritual health. Get thee out of thy kindred. Your kindred, they're dangerous to your spiritual health. And from thy father's house. These three environments are an endangerment to your spiritual well-being. Abraham, you must leave. Now the verse ends, Genesis 12, 1, ends by saying, unto a land that I shall show thee. So Genesis 12:1 tells us, and the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I shall show thee. Leave one land or leave one style of living, leave one environment, and I will show you a different way to live. But in order for me to show you an entirely different land, a different lifestyle, you must leave the other one. You can't mix the two. Now, that's the call. Now, let's take a look at Abraham's response to that call, along with some members of his family. Let's go one chapter back, Genesis chapter 11. We shall take a little look at Terah, that's Abraham's father, as we continue with many are called, or how to be called, and chosen. In Genesis 11, that chapter, if you look from verse 1 all the way down to verse 26, we have the genealogy of the descendants of Shem, one of the sons of Noah. And as in Genesis 5, there are 10 patriarchs. Also in Genesis 11, there are 10, extending from Shem all the way down to Abraham. And in verse 27 of Genesis 11, the Bible says, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah was Abraham's father. These are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, Ur of the Chaldees. The father of Lot died way back in Ur of the Chaldees, which is where Abraham was when God called him. And we find that out in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, where Stephen, responding to the high priest's request, he said unto the high priest, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. So Stephen helps us to understand the sequence of events that God called Abraham while he was all the way down south in Ur of the Chaldees. Now let's go back to chapter 11, reading verse 29. Verse 20 tells us that Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, Ur of the Chaldees. Verse 29 tells us, and Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. Verse 30 tells us, but Sarai was barren, she had no child. Now verse 31 and 32. We see how they responded to this call that God issued to Abraham. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. This was their intention. When God issued the call to Abraham, it is clear that some members of the family decided to come with Abraham. So the Bible says, the last part of verse 31, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Notice their intention. The intention was to go to the land to which God had called Abraham. How does that verse end? And they came unto Haran and did what? And dwelt there. Now, Haran is a long distance from Ur of the Chaldees. But Haran is not Canaan. Are you following me? Haran is not Canaan. But Haran is a great distance from Ur of the Chaldees. God called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. And verse 32 of Genesis 11 tells us, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died where? In Haran. But what was God's call to Abram? Get out of that country entirely unto a land I will show you, and that land was not Haran. And Abraham knew that. Terah died in Haran, having made a long trip from Ur of the Chaldees, a long distance from Ur, but he never made it to Canaan. Many of us, we hear the call of God, and I want to keep it simple tonight. Many of us hear the call of God. Come to Christ. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Let him deliver you from the influences of this world. Let him save your soul from corruption. Come to Jesus. And many of us, when we hear the call, we are in Ur of the Chaldees, all the way down south, the southern part of Sumeria. That's where we are. And we hear the call, and we say, Jesus, I'm coming. And we come a long way. But we stop in Haran. We never cross the Euphrates. We stop in Haran, never setting foot in Canaan. Because to set foot in Canaan means an absolute separation from everything of the past. We come to Haran, we dwell there, and like Terah, Abraham's father, we die there. There are many Seventh-day Adventists, young and old, who have left Ur of the Chaldees. They heard the call in crusades. They heard the call in academies. They heard the call in the Sabbath school class. Or they heard the call from the persistent lips of their nervous parents. Somehow they heard the call. And they left Ur of the Chaldees, and they've come to Haran. But something about Ur of the Chaldees will not let them leave. And so they never make that step, the complete response to the call of God. And so they've been called. But the chosen ones are the ones who set foot in Canaan, because that is the only way to answer the call of God. One must go from Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan. Now, if you go to chapter 12, go back to 12, read verse 5. Listen to what Abraham did. Abraham knew where his mission was, or what his ultimate destiny was, or destination. In verse 5 of Genesis 12, the Bible says, "And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to do what?" They went forth to do what? To go into the land of Canaan. Finish that verse. And into the land of Canaan they came. Now, go to verse 31. Read the last two lines or so. "And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to do what? To go into the land of Canaan." But the verse ends by saying what? "And they came to Haran and dwelt there." This is the difference, my friend, between those who are called and those who are called and chosen. The chosen go all the way in responding to the call of God. All the way. You see, when God calls a person, God calls you from life in the flesh to life in the spirit. That's why when God spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus said to him, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." There is no such thing as a fleshly spirit and spiritual flesh. And that's what many Adventists, young and old, try to do. How can I respond to the call of the Spirit without entirely giving up the flesh? Is there a kind of way I can improve the flesh by spiritualizing the flesh? It cannot be done. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the Spirit does not spiritualize the flesh. The Spirit kills the flesh, if I may express it that way. There's a saying where I'm from. It says, two crabs can't live in the same hole. And I remember when I was in Africa, I was in Tanzania, I was on the beach, and I was chasing a little crab, being mischievous. And he was running and running out of gas very quickly. He was little, this big. And he came to a hole and ran down the hole, and I knew that wasn't his hole, but it was an escape. He ran down the hole, didn't get very far. And so I dug him up, and he ran off again. But he ran into a hole that wasn't his. Two crabs don't live in the same hole. We cannot live in the flesh and in the spirit. Any man or woman who believes that he or she is successfully living in the flesh and the spirit is living in the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. What am I saying to you? When God calls, the call is general. The death of Jesus Christ was a call to the entire world. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." It is a call to the entire world. Here's what I have done for you. Here's what I've provided. Through this crucified Savior and risen, the entire world might be saved. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish." So there's a call to the entire world. But why are few chosen? Because there are very few who make the journey from Ur of the Chaldees all the way into Canaan, most people stop at Haran and they conclude, since I have come such a long distance, this must be satisfactory to God. It is not. When God sent Naaman to be healed at the Elisha gave him directions from God, Elisha said, dip 7 times. Naaman could have dipped 6.5 times. And he would have come up a leper. He had to dip 7 times. Because God, we cannot negotiate with God when it comes to a change in our lives. The call, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. When God called the Israelites out of Egypt, there's something he did to show how determined he was that nothing could take them back to Egypt except their own decision. The Bible says when the armies of Pharaoh pursued the Egyptians across the Red Sea, the waters came back and drowned the entire army. And the scriptures say not one soldier was left alive. Not one. God also forbade his people to keep horses. By keeping horses, they could ride back. They were not supposed to keep horses. You see, when we come to God, God does not want us to go back. He wants our decision to be irreversible. Leave Ur of the Chaldees, come into Canaan, and stay there. And Abraham never left Canaan. He died in Canaan. God has called you. How far have you come? How far have you come? If God were to grade your response to his call and my response to his call, and he had a choice of grade, a grade range from A plus to F minus, grading our response to the call of the gospel, our decision to leave the world and the influences of the world, to leave Ur of the Chaldees, what grade would we get tonight? My brothers and my sisters, because you are my brothers and my sisters, whether you believe it or not, your belief is not important. You are my brother and my sister. You really are. How many of you believe that? Let me see your hand. Fine, you may be better looking than I am, but you are my brothers and my sisters tonight. You were yesterday, you will be tomorrow. Have you responded fully to the call of God? Or do you find the world still very, very attractive? Are there things in Ur, from Ur of the Chaldees, that you have not yet gotten out of your system? Are the friends from Ur still calling you back? You've heard the call. But are you acting and living like someone who has been chosen? And the chosen ones are the ones who've made the journey from Ur to Canaan. And so I speak to you tonight from my heart. One of the reasons, if not the only reason, why many Christians, many church members, many churchgoers never see the power of God in their lives is because they are not fully surrendered to God. And God cannot risk entrusting his power to someone not fully surrendered to him. I want to ask you a question as I conclude how to be called and chosen. It is a very painful life to live, to sit on the fence. It really is. It can be very harmful to your health to sit on the fence. Sometimes you're with God, other times you're not. If being with God makes you too odd, then you slip over to the side of the world. When being in the world makes you too evil, then you slip over to the side of God. And it's a back and forth, like the ebb and flow of the tide along the seashore. We need to be one place. You know what God says to the Laodicean church? I wish you were either what? Hot or cold. In other words, pick a side. And stay there. When I say stay there, the Spirit convicts you, then move. But be one thing or the other. And my appeal to you tonight, let us take a stand on the side of the Spirit. Let's take a stand on the side of those who are not simply called, but chosen. Let's take a stand on the side of those who left Ur of the Chaldees, did not remain in Haran, but they came into the land of Canaan. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he would have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed by faith. I want you to have that faith in God tonight. And with that faith, however small, I want you to say in your heart, Lord, I want to go all the way with you. September 11, that tragedy in this country, particularly New York City, more specifically the World Trade Towers. I was in Africa when it happened. I was staying in a hotel in Uganda, conducting a crusade, and the political leader of that district came to my hotel to look for me, to tell me how sorry she was, because she knew I came from here, and asked me if I was all right. I said, yes, I'm fine, thank you very much. And during one of my sermons in the crusade, I said to the people, there's something about that tragedy that a person can admire. And I need to say this very carefully. And it is the commitment of those who we call them suicidal. We can call them whatever we like. But someone fully committed to Christ is suicidal. What do I mean by that? The person is not fully concerned about his life, but about the work of Jesus Christ. That's why Christ says, if any man love mother, father, or his own life more than me, he is not worth of me. And so what I admire is the spirit of dedication to a cause that puts my life in second place. That is commitment. Jesus came. What was of greatest concern to him was our salvation and, of course, the vindication of his Father's name. And our salvation was the means of that. His life was not his first concern, because the spirit of prophecy makes it very clear, there was the risk of Christ sinning and losing everything. The risk was there. But praise God, he gained a victory, and that can be ours. What I'm saying to you, you're not too young to be fully committed to Jesus Christ. I mean fully committed to Christ. So that you have an influence over your friends, an influence that pulls them to Christ, rather than they having an influence that pulls you into the world, which is what happens most frequently. Our friends who have nothing to do with Jesus or just have a wishy-washy, diluted relationship with him, they pull us into their lifestyle instead of us pulling them into our lifestyle. And Jesus needs young people who will stand for him and will not be shaken, will not be embarrassed because they do what's right, will not be afraid to walk out and dress modestly and look like a child of God. He needs you. He needs you tonight. You don't need to go to your room and think about it. He needs you tonight to give yourself to him fully. When God called Samuel, Samuel was a little boy. Josiah was king of Israel at the age of 8. And the Bible says he walked a straight road. He didn't deviate to the left or to the right. He was faithful to God right down the line. He was 8. All of you here are older than 8. Can you be faithful to God? And those of us who are 88, can we be faithful to God? I'll ask you a question. I'll make an appeal, and I want you all to respond. I want your response to be a response that brings a smile to the face of Jesus Christ tonight. I don't care what you've done, what you did 5 minutes ago, yesterday, but not if you've heard what I had to say. If it is in your heart to say, Lord, I want to have a serious relationship with you. I want to be called and chosen, 100% yours, and I make that decision tonight. Raise your hand quickly. Don't be afraid. Don't look to see who's raising one. You raise yours. Stand up with me. Let me ask you one more question. How many of you were serious? Let me see your hands. You were serious. Hands down. Is there someone here who is having a spiritual struggle and you want special prayer? Let me see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. You? Okay. And I want to pray for you. I mean that. If you have a spiritual struggle, you need special prayer, let me see your hand. You just raise your hand. Come right here. I'm going to pray for you right here. Come right here. Those who need special prayer, that's the only ones I'm calling, not everyone, just those who need special prayer for spiritual power, just come right here. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. Don't be afraid. Come right in. Anyone else? I'll pray for this group first, then I'll offer another prayer. Special prayer for spiritual power and victory. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, I present your sons and your daughters to you tonight. I thank you for the courageous response to the word that has clearly touched their honest hearts. Father, I ask you to touch every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who have responded to this call. We all need a closer walk, but they have expressed a specific desire for prayer that they might be spiritually victorious. I ask you, Father, right now to begin to give them that power now. Not tomorrow, Father, but now. Because now is always the time for us to receive that spiritual power. Now is the time for us to decide for Jesus Christ. Give them that power now, I pray, in the name of their risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And let that power keep them tonight, that on this holy Sabbath day, they may guard what they say and guard what they do and guard what they think, because now they have begun to receive spiritual power. Bless them. Bless their families, and let their influence from this point on be a wholesome influence that leads their friends to Jesus. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And don't move. I'll just offer a general prayer for everyone else. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for all those who came tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the attention, for the listening ear and the listening hearts. I ask you now in the name of Jesus, whose desires that all people might be saved, who shed his blood for this entire world, that you would grant to them an infilling of your Holy Spirit. You would give to them the power that Jesus himself had on this earth, that the victory he won may be theirs through faith in him. Dear God, let the sentiments of tonight's message remain with us, and let us, Father, from day to day, desire not only to be called, but to be chosen. We're chosen tonight by the power of your Spirit. Let us lead the life of a chosen person. Protect us tonight. Bring us back tomorrow, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.